No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the trainer.
Take me to the pilot, I'm not a stranger. Brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plain Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me along with Captain Dennis. We are your crew for Just Plain Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Finally, after 3 weeks, we are back in the studio, after a run of three shows from Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida. What a successful event. It was amazing. Hopefully you got a little taste of what it was like to be there if you weren't fortunate enough to be in Lakeland with us for the big show. But hey, look, we're just a few months away from AirVenture, and we're going to replicate that experience shortly. But we got to focus on some other stuff finally. Finally, we got to get other content other than everything going on at Sun and Fun. Are you ready, Dennis?
I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, because it's all about me, right?
Yeah, it's always about you, Greg.
Well, at least a little bit. I mean, since Sun and Fun, I hopped in an airplane, flew international, and we're going to talk about commercial air travel a little bit today, at least to open up the show with our friend Eric Berman from MyFlyBook.com. Right. And Eric just did some international traveling as well. And we're going to compare notes because I think this is going to be a pretty good example of how things stack up domestic flights, U.S. flights compared to international carriers. And we talk about this quite a bit because, you know, I went to the Galapagos. I had a big, big adventure planned right after Sun and Fun to fly down to Ecuador, go to the Galapagos for a week, do some diving. Pretty big, it's a pretty good run for someone like me. And matter of fact, I split it up amongst three different carriers because I had to fly from Orlando down to Quito, Ecuador, and then Quito to Baltra or something, the coast, right there where you get on a boat and then head out 100 miles on a boat to go to Darwin and Wolf to dive around these special islands in the Galapagos, and that's what I did. So those flights, I ended up flying first class from Orlando down to Quito on American, and then I went on Avianca, which is one of the carriers in Ecuador, from Quito to the coast, came back on that airline, Avianca, and then back from Quito via Delta first class. So I had a little taste of all three. And I will say all of them were pretty good, pretty standard American first class service. It wasn't bad. It was good. I had a nice big comfy seat. The Delta flight back, actually, my seat went all the way back. And I really slept like I actually passed up my short rib dinner because I was like, I'm exhausted and I'm going to lay back and take advantage of this. And I'll be darned if I didn't get a good 4-hour nap on the way back. So that worked out pretty good. I did like that, even though I was like, well, you know, I was definitely paying for the lay flat seats there, Dennis. And I didn't get any booze to get the meal or nothing. Didn't take advantage of any of those things. I just took advantage of the face mask and the zonk out for 4 hours, which, you know, that was probably worth it. And I will say, Avianca, that was the one leg I was worried about because it was just, you know, Ecuador carrier. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a little like a puddle jumper. It wasn't. It was like an Airbus 320 or something new. It was kind of along the budget carriers of flying. I would say I actually got their upgrade. So their upgrade to first class is like they just take the seat next to you and block it out. So you kind of have a row to yourself kind of thing, which was fine, you know, but I, you know, they didn't offer me water or nothing, but it didn't matter. I didn't care. That was only a couple hours.
How long was the flight?
Yeah. A couple hours. Didn't matter. It was fine. And the seats were comfortable enough. They reclined and the seat, you know, the airplane was relatively new and clean and stuff. They just didn't really, you know, offer much service, but who cares? It got me there. It was on time, efficient, and what more can you expect? I mean, I didn't, and the cost was pretty good too. And American did good on the way down. It was typical first class American, no problem. Food were decent, and that kind of thing. I didn't have to lay flat on the way down, but that was fine. So it was typical. Nothing super surprising other than when I flew back and I got the lay flat seat on Delta. I didn't expect that, and I did appreciate that, and it came in pretty handy. But it doesn't come close to the experience you get from an international carrier, and I've bitched about this for years on Just Plain Radio. Why can't we have something like Singapore Air or Cathay Pacific and that kind of thing? And that's where Eric's going to help us out today, because you did just that, right, Eric? You flew one of the top three international carriers that are constantly rated year in and year out in that category, and experienced the Singapore ladies, or what do they call it? Singapore girls are the flight attendants.
Oh, I did not hear them given a moniker.
That's but, what I've heard, at least over the years, that they call them the Singapore girls. But maybe that's not politically correct these days. I don't know. Who knows?
Well, the thing about the Singapore Air flights is that they're among the longest flights in the world. I actually looked up. So we were nonstop from Seattle to Singapore, which is 16 hours and 40 minutes.
Wow.
Is what it was scheduled for. And I think we ended up, or 16:20 or something. We ended up being 17 just because we ended up taxiing at Seattle for a long time.
Yeah.
And one person on our trip actually came out on, what was it, JFK JFK to Singapore, which is the second longest flight in the world, and went home Singapore to Newark, or one of them's the longest and one of them's the second longest. I forget which. They're like 18 or 18 and a half hours.
Okay.
It's funny. You mentioned that, you mentioned the blocking the middle seat. And I think there's sort of three tiers of business class or first class. If you go to Europe and you do an inter-Europe thing, that's what they do, is they block off the middle seat.
Right.
And then the middle tier is what most domestic US, like what you had on American, is, where you have a nice big seat and it reclines nicely. You get the tray, you get the free booze and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But only so often do you get the lie flat like you got on Delta. And I think right. I've only had that once in domestic US. But I love my wife and I love being married to her. So there is no way we were going that distance without a fully lie flat seat.
There you go. And so on Singapore Air, was that, is that business class? Is that first? What do they call it?
Yeah. You know, there's very little first class out there anymore, it seems. Most of the carriers, some of them will have first class on just a few routes, like on the A380s. This was an A350. So now the three tiers seem to be economy plus, and business class. And business class is the nice with the full lie flat seats. I actually, the radio listeners won't, podcast listeners won't be able to see the picture I just posted in the chat, but I took a picture of the seat. The nice thing about, on the A350s, with Singapore Airs, you get, every seat has aisle access. So it's window, aisle, two seats, aisle, window.
Gotcha.
And then they stagger things as well.
All right.
We came back actually on Japan Airlines, also lie flats, and it was two, two, and two. But because of the way they staggered the seats, even the window seat could get in and out without bothering the person on the aisle.
Right.
But the Singapore Air seats are some of the biggest seats I've had. Probably, a good 10 inches on either side of me of just open space.
Mm.
Lots of cubby holes. And what was interesting is usually the lie flats, they recline and then they just sort of keep reclining until they're flat.
Mm-hmm.
This one reclined a good ways and brought up the footrest so you could watch movies and things like that. But when you wanted to actually lay down to go to sleep, you actually put the seat back up and then fold it down like a car seat, like the rear seats in your car.
And like turn it into a real bed. Yeah, there you see. I'm getting sleepy just talking about this. Or no, that's not right. I'm getting excited about wanting to fly international, or at least find out why can't we get some more of this in the USA? We'll continue this conversation on the other side of Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Do you have a message or product you need to share with the aviation world? Well, look no further than Just Plane Radio. Just like you, thousands of aviation enthusiasts are hearing this message, and we could be talking about you and your product or service as early as next Saturday. Remember, a terrible thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Go to justplainradio.com, send us an email, and let us get to work to make your marketing message matter.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
There's never been a Spirit airline crash. And I have a theory. I think it's because all their pilots are on probation. They have to complete 500 hours of safe flight before they go back to Delta and drink again.
Mr. Airline Agent, won't you understand? I'm a frequent traveler and a patient man. But I've been mistreated just a time or two. I stood about all I'm gonna stand from you. I got my ticket in my hand just like everybody else. I paid my money in advance so I could use a little help. You're making such a fuss, you're holding up the line. Just get me on the plane, everything will be fine. I gotta go, you gotta get me to the show. Quit giving me the stare, just get me in the air.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. We're talking with Eric Berman from MyFlightBook.com. He's with us. He just flew with Singapore Air, and we're comparing notes on his international flying experience. And mine, his probably was a little bit more pleasant, but mine wasn't bad. But I've said this for years, that why is it the USA, we can't have a little bit better experience than what the international carriers provide? Because this happened to me probably a couple years ago. I flew a business class on Fiji Airways, and they had brand new planes. I mean, I had never experienced that level of service and food and the lay flat seats. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And it really wasn't that much more. It was typical first class ticket to fly across the USA. But man, the experience was way far and above what we get generally on our domestic carriers. And I wish we could incorporate more of those type of things to make our commercial traveling just a little bit better. But, I know the government supplement these international carriers and make it tougher for the domestic guys to do it. But there are a few things we could learn from them. Now, Singapore Air is consistently rated in the top three airlines of the world every year, year in, year out. And that's what Eric flew. And actually, I don't know if you saw this. You mentioned they have pretty much they level out or top out at business class. But I think, isn't it Singapore Air that just started doing this new suite service, which is like two seats, and it's like your own little apartment in the sky on certain routes, like those longest flights you mentioned? I think that was one of the routes that I saw. It's a very exclusive thing. And it's like 20 grand a pop, probably. But did you see that on your...
on their A380? No, that wasn't on ours. I think that's only on like their A380 flights. Okay,
that sounds right. Yeah, but that's we could dream. When we win the lottery, we'll pop on that one.
The Gulf carriers do that as well. I think Emirates has showers and suites.
Yeah.
I've not flown them.
Well, maybe that's who I'm mixing it up with. It could be Emirates. It could be Qatar. One of those.
American has their flagship suite seats is their new thing now.
Yeah, but it's it's going up. There are definitely options when you're flying international like that where you can really go nuts. But the business class sounds pretty good. What you did in Singapore Air, so the pods were like isolated by themselves, so each one and plenty of player room.
They didn't have like the suite thing like what Qatar has and where others where you can like put up the wall to just below standing neck height.
Yeah.
But you had pretty good isolation. I remember Qatar, you basically had a little mini suite when you're in business class.
Your own little mini pod, right. Okay, so yours was a little bit more open air.
It was still reasonably isolated.
And?
One of the cool things is that they have this a very extensive deep menu you can choose from, and if you book in advance, you can also do this book the cook thing where you can order all kinds of crazy over the top meals. So like for my flight from Singapore to Kathmandu, I had lobster thermidor that I had ordered.
Yeah. Jeez.
It was actually pretty good.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so the food was awesome and the seats were comfortable and what else?
And then the other thing that I think the American Airlines, not American Airlines specifically, but the domestic U.S. airlines can and should do for business class is, why don't we have free Wi-Fi? I had free Wi-Fi for 17 hours on Singapore.
Wow.
It's not super fast, but could stay connected. And it's always my big challenge when traveling is because I got to make sure that if something happens on the My Flight Book site, I can respond to it.
Right.
And so that was a beautiful perk.
Oh, I bet. Was it Starlink or is it some other service that they offer? I don't know.
I don't know what backed it. It's got to be satellite because you're out of, I don't think it's Starlink. I think it's, Alaska's using it now too.
Global Star or Iridium.
Satellite based.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, the technology's there now. I mean, when I was out in the Galapagos, I mean, it was the same thing. When I got to the coast of Ecuador to hop on a boat, then we took the boat 150 miles offshore. They had the boat equipped with Starlink and I had amazing internet access the entire week. And it was just included in the trip. So, that's probably going to be happening more and more. And yeah, they could cut us a break on that.
I think that's the expectation these days is that you can provide it. But the one thing that even Singapore cannot solve is the crying baby.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah. Or the snoring guy in first class sitting behind you. I had that on that. It was the only one thing I had coming back on that Delta flight. I had a guy literally right behind me the whole flight. I was like, holy Christ, man.
He's a CPAP hooked up to the overhead vent.
Yeah. I was like, how does he sleep through that crap? I couldn't believe it. Luckily.
Fine, apparently.
Well, I had those Delta Comfort, noise canceling headphones, thank God. And I popped those on and I was able to deal with it. But yeah. The crying baby. Yeah, oof. You still had that even in first class in Singapore, huh? Yeah,
even in first class in Singapore. Oh, wow. Yep. Well, also 17-hour flight. My God, I'm practically that crying baby.
Right. Well, there you go. Well, once again, it's not quite as good as having your own aircraft. You'd still agree that's the best way to go if you can pull it off. I assume, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Although getting to Singapore in a 182 would take just a little bit longer than 16 hours of flying time.
Probably. And then you did the typical thing with Singapore Air where you have to go through Singapore on your route? Because you had a bunch of legs on your trip too, right?
Yeah, well, we did it so that we could adjust to the time zone before the actual main meat of the trip was started in Kathmandu. But I got to say, Changi Airport, or however you pronounce it, the Singapore airport, is itself a tourist attraction.
Right. That's what I've heard.
It has got gardens and water features and a whole shopping mall. And we went back when we were flying out, we went back an extra hour and a half early just so we could explore the airport. Yeah. It's insane.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've turned that leg into like a little tourist destination. They actually offer tours as part of your airline ticket that you purchase with Singapore Air. So yeah, it's on my list. You're definitely, sounds like you're giving it two thumbs up. Is that a fair assumption there, Eric? Yes.
Yes, indeed.
I see at least one of them, so that'll work. Eric Berman, myflightbook.com. Check it out there. Download it, and you'll be good to go. We got more coming up, including Scott from Aerox on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
How do they get all that metal up in the air? It makes no sense.
It also doesn't make any sense how much you're sweating.
Ha! He thinks we're all gonna die. This guy.
If the plane doesn't kill you, I will.
Looks like it's time for someone to take their sleepy pill.
You're gonna be okay. You gotta fly, got to fly away. No need to be afraid. Just gotta fly, got to fly away.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along. Captain Dennis, Eric Berman from my flightbook.com with us. I'm going to hold him on for just a few more minutes before we talk to Scott from Aerox, because you know we're talking about his Singapore airline experience, which he was raving about, which that's what I would expect. I've heard so many good things over the years about flying with them. One of these days it's going to happen for me. I mean, I was scheduled to fly with them years ago, and then I don't know, this whole heart issue thing popped up in my radar. I had to cancel a big trip to the Maldives, and I was all prepared about diving in the Maldives, but actually I was more excited about flying Singapore Air business class on that trip, and I had to cancel everything.
I think you canceled a lot more than just that trip.
Well, yeah, there was a few issues, but hey, I'm back, and you know, maybe we'll revisit that adventure in the future. But that wasn't all that you did. You did have a couple puddle jumper flights, and this might be a new level of puddle jumper, because what was it, from Kathmandu to some other weird place you were traveling to, or what exactly, Eric?
Kathmandu to Paro, Bhutan. It's a 45-minute flight in an A319, not an A320. It's just not, you can't take anything bigger in there, to my understanding. Fun thing about the flight, actually, was we got to see Mount Everest out the window. We were all sitting on the correct side of the plane for that, so that was great. Paro, they were telling us, They told us that there are only 8 pilots in the world who are certified for this. That feels a little low to me, but it's not many. But the thing is that you have this airport in the Himalayas. It's 7,000-foot runway at 7,000 feet. So you're high altitude. You're surrounded by mountains. And I think probably the best way to describe it is to have people go search for YouTube videos on this. On the My Flight Book Facebook page, I posted two videos. One is a great in the cockpit pit video of the pilot actually flying it. And it's funny, he prays and he says, "I'm a good Buddhist. I pray before I do this landing every time."
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's not really what you want to hear, but
it's not reassuring.
It's not reassuring, but what you literally have to do is you start the instrument procedure on instruments down to only about like 11 or 12,000 feet or something. And then it's like fly to the monastery. When you can see the monks, the whites of the monks' eyes, turn 30 degrees to the left at 140 knots, descend at this rate. It is incredibly precise. There's another YouTube video where he walks through the actual procedure in a simulator. But the net result is our pilot came on as we were coming in and saying, "Yeah, we're going to be doing some low level maneuvering. It's okay. It's normal for this approach." And you are literally doing 30 degree banks, at 100 or 200 feet AGL as you descend to the air, because the airport is surrounded by mountains.
Wow. Well, so how many seats are in this airplane? I mean, it sounds fairly small then. Is it a 20 seater, 10 seater, or bigger?
No, it's bigger than it's a jet.
It is. Okay.
It's like A320, but a little bit smaller.
Okay.
So what, 140?
Yeah, but you're doing a 30 degree bank in one of them things. And so, like, if he didn't warn you, people would go, "Oh, we're going down."
So the only other approach like that I can think of that commercial airliners have historically flown in, that where you're doing sort of those kinds of maneuvers so close to landing, is the old Hong Kong Kai Tak airport, you know, where you'd be flying below the levels of the apartment buildings and you could see all the laundry hanging out to dry.
But
this was, you know, normally you get straight and level and you're on your final descent for like 5 miles at least before you touch down.
Right.
Here, I don't think it was 500 feet before you touch down. You straighten out and your wheels are down.
So did you feel it? And I mean, did you go like, okay, I hope he knows what he's doing, because this doesn't seem like right. This doesn't seem very good to me.
Well, that's why there are, okay, maybe not as few as 8, which I heard from 2 separate people, but that doesn't make it true.
Yeah.
But handfuls. There's only one airline. It's Druk Air, which is the Royal Bhutanese airline that will fly in and out of the airport. And they've only got a handful of planes, and they've only got a slightly larger handful of pilots who are certified to fly it.
So when he came in there for that approach, and did he grease it on an approach, or is it almost impossible because you're coming in so fast and steep?
You park it on the runway. You got to be down in the in the first 1,000 feet or so of the runway, and then you're slamming on the brakes and spoilers and all that. And of course, taking off, you're also maneuvering, but you have a steeper climb gradient than you have a descent gradient, so it's not quite as bad.
Yeah.
Again, YouTube Paro, P-A-R-O, landing.
Uh-huh. Well, it sounds like a pretty good start to your adventure. It starts in the airplane, not at the destination. You think, Dennis?
Absolutely. Eric sent me the video before he came on the show here, and I was commenting to him that you could never have that kind of approach here in the United States, because you're literally coming in a couple hundred feet over people's houses as they're coming into this airport. And you know, with all of the NIMBY people around here, they would not tolerate that kind of airplane noise flying that low over their house.
Right.
You know, Scott, you got your problems down in Naples. Can you imagine if the airliners were coming in 200 feet over the houses there?
Yeah.
No, there'd be uproar.
They stopped airliners from coming in to Naples for that reason.
Mm-hmm. But the people are just used to it in that part of the world, I guess, Eric. Is that right?
There also just aren't very many people. I think it's more of coming in that low over people is what you do in places like Mumbai. You are just off the departure end of the runway and you're over people's homes, and densely populated people's homes. Bhutan is very sparsely populated, and the Paro area is also pretty sparsely populated. So there are homes there, but not all that
many. Okay, but you didn't see
that's
any
probably
like
their lifeline too. I mean, that's probably how they get medicine, food, and everything else. So they probably love to see those planes flying overhead.
Mm-hmm. And I assume this is a pretty green, tropical kind of paradise place. Is that right or no?
Himalayan. Green, yes. I can talk for a bit about Bhutan.
Well, I'm just wondering if like all the wrecked planes are covered up by vegetation at this point.
Monasteries. Monasteries as far as the eye can see.
Yeah. But it sounds like, so you went there to just kind of hang out and hike and do that whole thing, that kind of adventure?
Indeed. And and see some wildlife and learn about the culture. And this is the only country in the world that has a gross national happiness index.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's pretty high then.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a country the size of Switzerland, mountainous, never been conquered. Uh-huh. It's a kingdom, only 700,000 people in it.
And when they fly home, they're just so thankful that they made it, approach, and they landed, and they're happy people.
The airport buildings and stuff are, I think, some of the most beautiful airport buildings I've ever seen anywhere.
Really?
It's a stunningly beautiful country. Huh. And it's in the Himalayas, so 7,000 feet is like they have some low land. A bunch of the country is above 20,000 feet.
Yeah. Well, if you go out off the runway, is there like a massive cliff like you would have at the runway in Ceiba in the Caribbean?
No, it's a mountain peak.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Other direction for the gradient.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So it's actually lower.
So there's no worry about overrunning the runway. You will stop.
Yeah. You'll have no choice. You'll be flying right into a wall. I gotcha. Okay. So it's a different kind of experience. But hey, something that I think any pilot would love to get on their list, not necessarily to fly themselves, which they wouldn't allow that anyway. But hey, go to that part of the world, experience it. That's where the adventure begins. And I think we can relate to that even, more as aviation enthusiasts. Good stuff, Eric. Thank you so much. MyFlightBook.com. And we got Scott from Aerox next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your stewardess speaking. We regret any inconvenience the sudden cabin movement might have caused. This is due to periodic air pockets we encountered. There's no reason to become alarmed, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your flight. By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
Airplanes, airplanes, flying all around the sky.
Do you think we can take off before he gets here?
Airplanes, airplanes, flying way up high.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. All right, so we're going to go to Scott from Aerox. Because not just to talk about his cool oxygen providing systems that you can check out at, let me make sure I get, is it aerox.com? Is that the website?
Aerox.com.
Simple enough. I knew it was pretty simple like that, but I probably screw that up knowing me. But now we know, and you can check that out and check out his oxygen systems for any aircraft that you have. They can cover you. So call him. But we're going to talk about something else Scott does because he's involved in all aspects of flying. And Dennis, I'll let you take it because you were talking to him about this, Sun and Fun in Lakeland what?
You were there with us, remember? Yeah. He, as we were getting ready to kick everything off, Scott and his employee were over at our camper
because,
partaking in the stone crabs.
Right. He heard you had stone crabs up from South Florida and it's like, hey, Dennis, it's time for a visit, isn't it? So,
funny how that works.
Yes.
And, a great happy hour at our place, right?
Yeah, well, hey.
What do we have? Angel's Envy whiskey and stone crab. It was a really terrible.
That was pretty good.
I was
good
really
happy
a bad host.
At Sun and Fun,
and the worst
for sure.
Part was we had air conditioning,
Right.
We could have that too.
Yeah, it's we definitely are on the glamping side of things when it comes to doing events like Sun and Fun and Air Venture. So, yeah. Scott wanted to take advantage of that, which I don't blame him, and we're glad to have him and share the spoils of Just Plain Radio. Is that what it was, Dennis? Not really. It was just,
not really.
It was really just Dennis's wallet. he lives next door to, you know, Everglades City where they get the stone crab. So I just made the comment, hey, bring some up with you. I'm thinking, oh, he won't pay attention. Sure. You know, he brings them up and the word gets out. That's how it happens.
It was an excuse. You know, and the funny part was Scott actually said, hey, are you on premise yet? And it's like, no, I'm actually still in Everglades City. Oh, you are getting them. So right. He had to make sure he got his taste there.
All right. So over, you know, drinking a little whiskey and some stone crabs. Some of the stuff that he was doing got brought up about this volunteer flying. So what was it exactly, Scott? What are you doing in that regard?
So I've been involved with a volunteer pilot organizations now for about 10 years, both as a pilot and also as a board member on the board of PAL Skyhope, which is a volunteer pilot organization from our theater of operations is from Maine all the way down to Florida now. And what we do is we provide transportation to anyone in need that needs to get to a medical treatment, veterans. We have a lot of relationships with veterans organizations. So I just took a veteran up to Camp Southern Ground for a veterans retreat. And basically anybody in need. We've got several hundred pilots that fly for us. We've done several thousands of missions and really helped a lot of people just make air more accessible. And to me, it's the best flying that we can do. You get very personally involved with these passengers. They've got very compelling stories. And
yeah,
this is the only skill I have. And so this is how I help people.
Yeah. Share the love. Right now, is this part of the Angel Flight organization or is that just a totally different thing? But it's a similar thing, right?
Similar in concept, yeah. But we're a different organization. Like I said, we're kind of quasi-national. We're from really along the East Coast of the United States. Mm-hmm. But it's similar. You know, there's many, many volunteer pilot organizations. We all fall under an umbrella of a group called the Air Care Alliance that does advocacy for us and things like that. And, you know, it's just there's a lot of pilots that are involved with volunteer flying, whether it's disaster relief, like I said, veterans flights or just flying people to treatment.
Right. Well, you know, we've covered a lot of this stuff over the years on Just Plain Radio, as it is well deserved, and I've tried to capitalize on it myself, just from the standpoint.
You're not a charity, though, Greg.
I pretend to be one at times, but you don't get the same reward back by flying me around. But for people who really need it, like you said, people that have some kind of medical treatment they got to get to, or, you know, I mean, they do it for pets and things. Right. There's organizations that do that as well. But the one common thread you hear from all the people that participate in these volunteer efforts is how much they get out of it, right? It's really, you know, you're providing your time, fuel, whatever the cost, you know, is, but you get so much back in return, and they just love it.
It's incredibly rewarding. And, you know, I'll tell you, Greg, there's not a time when I don't do a flight, and I'm sure Eric's shaking his head. He's a pilot too for volunteer pilot organization. There's not a time when I don't get home and I don't hug my family.
Yeah.
Because it just makes you so appreciative for everything you have. And you know, the fact that you can, you know, with the skills that we've got, we've been blessed by, you know, to own or operate, you know, fly these airplanes, that you can make somebody's life just a little bit easier when they're going through such unspeakable hardship. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's them or their kids or something, you know, and I mean, I could go on for an hour with just the stories of every single passenger that I've flown. It's very personal. It gets very emotional. We do, as a group, we get very emotionally attached to the people that we fly. And I'll tell you, you know, I mean, it takes a lot of money to do this and we're fortunate to be able to do it. But every single passenger who I've flown, when they leave or they give me a hug, they always say, thank you for taking the time. Mm-hmm. You know, they realize that we're all busy. You know, we're all running businesses or we all have our own lives. And the fact that, you know, somebody like Eric or any of the other pilots that fly these missions will take a day out or time out of their busy lives or time away from their family to help somebody that they don't even know means so much to them. And it's really just an incredible group of organizations, and the pilots who do this are really, really special.
Yeah. Well, the skill you have is a superpower, the way I look at it. And what good is a superpower, is if you don't use it for good. Because
right.
the more you give, the more you get back. I mean, that's like I said, it's a continuing theme, and you just got to get out there and do it. And I think anytime you use that type of approach, it comes back tenfold. You've notched that bedpost a few times, haven't you, there, Dennis? In that regard, you've done a bunch.
Yeah, I've done some. I haven't done a medical ferry or anything like that, but even just volunteering with Young Eagles flights, mm-hmm. seeing the excitement on a kid's face to go for that plane ride for the first time and realize it's something that they could do. You know, that even just that giving back that little bit is fantastic.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, how could people, if they're a pilot listening right now, Scott, mm-hmm. how could they join forces and help out your organization in particular?
Visit us at skyhope.org. And on there, there's a button for pilots, and it'll give you all of the requirements and get you signed up, put you through our safety program and get you flying. And honestly, if we get 50 pilots to fly one flight a year, that's as good or better than having one pilot fly 50 flights a year. So even if you can do one flight a year, come join us and it will change how you look at flying and how you look at life. And it did for me.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
Come do one flight. That's all we ask.
Yeah. And it's wide open. It will, no matter what type of airplane you have access to and your skill level, you could probably put them to work in some capacity in that regard, right?
Absolutely. I've got my Mooney, which is the four place. I was doing it in 172 up in Connecticut, and we've got people who fly, business jets. So it really runs the gamut.
Good stuff. A very positive show today on many levels. Maybe you learned a couple things. Maybe you want to participate and pay it forward. So on that note, we'll wrap it up for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at justplaneradio.com.